Morning, Psalm 119, please. While you're turning there, I do want to say thank you for trusting us. We are teenagers. Every summer, it is a joy for them to come to camp, and we trust that we just encourage them basically to do what you've been telling them to do. You know, they come home from camp, and they'll say, oh, I made this great decision. This is what I learned. And you as a mom or dad or as a pastor think I've been teaching you that for 12 years, you know. And we just reinforce what you've been teaching. And again, it is a joy to be able to be in this church with you. You've got a great pastoral staff, and the teens are just a joy to be with this morning. Summer camp is big at the Wilds, obviously. In fact, I think, if I remember right, we already have 11,600 signed up for the 11 weeks of camp this summer, and that's a blessing. But we run year-round. There's camp going on all the time. Couples retreats with blue plate specials and dinner theaters in the fall and in the spring. We've got senior saints camps, and I know some of you have been there. And I will say this, they're a little bit difficult to deal with. They are. They like steal each other's teeth and hide them, you know, and they won't listen to us. But they're always a great time. And ladies' retreats, men's retreats, you need to get away sometime from busy, busy Atlanta, although your traffic's not that bad. I drove this morning, hardly saw any cars. I thought the difference between a Sunday morning and a Monday morning, yeah. But thank you. I want to thank your pastors also for allowing me to be with your men this weekend. We had a great time just digging into the Word of God. And folks, as you know, it is the Word of God that changes our lives. Okay? And if we're not in the Word, we're not going to grow. We're not going to have a close relationship with our Lord. We're not going to know how to raise our kids. We're not going to be able to deal with our problems. It is the very words of God that transform a life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119, verse 9. How can we raise sons and daughters to be clean in this world we live in? Folks, we live in a wicked world. I wish we didn't have to raise our kids in this world. Really, I wish we could all live, as we mentioned this weekend, back in the days of Little House on the Prairie. Then all we'd have to deal with was Nellie's attitude. But we don't live in that world. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can we stay clean? How can we raise our kids and our grandkids to be clean? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. When I was a kid, my folks split up, and I grew up living with my grandparents. And when I was about nine, I told my granddad, lived in the countryside of northeastern Pennsylvania. I said, Granddad, I think I need to go and explore the woods. He said, I don't think that'd be wise. You'd probably get lost. I said, not me, Granddad. I taught, you know, Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett everything they know. And I know those woods like the back of my hand. Finally, I talked him into letting me go. And so I'm down there exploring the woods. And then I saw a deer. And I started chasing that deer. I don't know what I would have done if I caught that deer. But I did chase the deer through the woods. And all of a sudden, the deer was gone. I'm looking around. I have no idea where I am. I'm lost. I kept hiking and kept walking. It started getting dark, and I'm only nine, and I'm, like, really scared. I don't know if there's bears out there and cougars and Tyrannosaurus rex. I don't know what's in the woods. I'd wandered off the path, and I was incredibly, incredibly afraid. You know, there's something much more dangerous than that in life. And that's when we wander from God. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Do you remember the day you got saved? Oh, you were so excited. You could not wait to tell everybody. And just to get into the Word of God and learn everything you could. To pray and actually talk to God. And not just give some kind of religious phrases. I mean, God was so real to you. Just like a little kid. I was preaching recently in Florida, and a little 5-year-old girl had some incredible heart problems, and they had to do a test. The surgeon, with her staying awake, and while she was awake, they showed her on the screen. They said, okay, see, here's your heart. Now, watch. We're going to go inside your heart. And the little girl said, but sir, where's Jesus? God is so real to little kids. And often we get older, and we do. We get busy. We get selfish. We start to wander away from God. When we wander, where do we wander from? Look at verse 9 again. As I read from verse 9 to 16, every time you see a personal pronoun for the Lord, thy or thou or thee, I want you to say it out loud together. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to, say it, thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. When we wander, folks, we wander away from God. God doesn't move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that kind of God you can trust in. It is us who wander. And again, we get our focus maybe through wandering eyes, looking at things we should never look at, wandering tongues, being critical, hateful, saying things to your husband that you would have never said a year or two after you got married. Sometimes it's wandering feet where we go places for pleasure that we have no business as a Christian going there. We do. We wander away from God. How do you stop from wandering? How do you raise your kids and your teens to where when they graduate from high school that they don't wander from God? There's a Christian school not too far from here. During one of their graduations, as they're walking out through the lobby, the kids graduate from the Christian high school. And the one girl carrying her Bible, they got in the lobby, she took her Bible and threw it in the trash can and said, "Well, I guess I won't be needing that anymore." How do we keep our kids from having that mindset? Like, they'll please you, and they'll be in church, and they'll do what is right while they got the authority over them. But then the second that you're done, and they head off for college, they just wander from God. Walk away. How do you do this? Back in verse 9 again, "Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed." Those words, taking heed. Actually, it's the same word that you find in Proverbs 4:23, where it says you keep your heart with all diligence. It literally means to encircle, to wrap around. It's kind of like building a castle around your heart and your mind. It totally, totally surrounding yourself. Now, I get asked a lot why I still work with teenagers. I'm 40-10 this year. You'll get that later. And I'm asked, "Rand, are you ever going to get a real job, you know?" Well, there's a couple reasons I'm still at camp. One, I love teenagers. I really do. It's my heart. And I like what I do. But there's another reason. I've been at the Wild so long that year after year we have these program guys that come in on our staff, and they work with, you know, the preaching and the music and the skits and leading the hikes and refereeing. And after they're there 4 or 5 years, they usually go on to another ministry, and we normally have a going away party for them, which is not always fun. You know, you might be thrown down the water slide or into the lake or even worse. I remember one of our guys, we took him out to a fancy restaurant, fed him real good, and then we were leaving Pizza Hut. And after we left, we got out in the parking lot, and the six of us surrounded him. And he's looking at us and says, guys, well, there's six of us, one of him. We threw him down in the parking lot. I just happened to have the duct tape with me, you know. And I taped his feet together and then his hands together. And one of the other guys brought a big box of that saran wrap, you know, that clingy stuff. And we wrapped him from the tip of his toes all the way to the top of his head. We allowed him to breathe. And he was like in this stuff, you know. Then we took him and put him in a shopping cart, pushed him into the checkout counter at Ingles and left him there for a half hour. Yeah. Finally, we felt bad, and so we went and got him, threw him in the back of the van. I said, "Hey, guys, let's go bowling. We'll just kind of flop him down there in the lane next to us. If he can get out, he can bowl with us. If not, he can watch us." The problem was, when we pulled into the bowling alley, the police surrounded us, and I did have some explaining to do. Yeah. You know, Dan was like so wrapped up in that stuff. He couldn't think. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. Folks, wouldn't it be so cool if we were so wrapped up in the very words of God that we couldn't speak, we couldn't think, we couldn't do anything outside of God's Word? How do you wrap yourself up? Take heed to the Word of God. Look at verse 11 again. "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes." You want to wrap yourself up in the Word of God? Number one, realize who said it. Say that with me. Realize who said it. God wrote a book, and He gave it to all of us. And He wants us to read it. Men, do you read? We talked about that this weekend, didn't we? Do you think? Do you read? Moms, do you read?
Do you understand what's in this book? Truths to keep you from getting a divorce, and truths that makes a difference between eternity and heaven and hell, and truths that can give you true joy and understanding God's a forgiving God. It is a tremendous book. Realize who said it. You know, teens, when you have an argument with a brother or sister, what do you normally say? Well, Mom said. Dad said. Guess what, folks? God said it. And then He wrote it down for us. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared the judgments, or all the judgments of thy mouth. Number two, repeat it. Say that with me. Repeat it. What do you talk about? When you get with your friends, or when you get with your family, what do you talk about? Now, I live with teens. In fact, I get a little nervous when I stand in front of adults. I have to remind myself, adults are nothing more than teenagers with wrinkles, and then I'm okay, all right? But you know the number one thing that most teenage girls talk about? Teenage guys. You know the number one thing teenage guys talk about? Food, sports, trucks, and finally teenage girls. Yeah. You talk about what you love. You talk about what you think about. You talk about what is usually already in your mind. Do you talk about God? Do you talk about God with your family? Mom, Dad, do you ever share with your kids what you got out of your devotions? Okay, teens, I dare you. I dare you in the next 2 weeks, once or twice, I want you, don't tell them what day it is, but you go to your mom, you go to your dad, and just say, hey, Mom, Dad, tell me, what'd you get out of your devotions today? I dare you. Okay, Mom, Dad, you got fair warning, yeah. Repeat it. Talk about it. Just take your son or your daughter and go to a coffee shop and sit down and say, let me tell you what I learned from Psalms today. Oh, it's incredible. Teach it. Get a Sunday school class. Go to the nursing home, backyard Bible class. When you're constantly teaching the Word of God, it forces you to be in the Word. Testify of it. I was preaching a meeting in Maine. And when we got there, I mean, it was the middle of February, okay? I'm not an evangelist. I work at a camp. And so if you're a true evangelist, you go to Florida in the winter. So that's why I was in Maine in February. And, I mean, it was cold, 38 degrees below zero. Not wind chill. It was that cold. I mean, even the birds up there wear earmuffs. It is unbelievable. And I remember going and looking around. All I could see is farms and snow and thinking, wow, this will be a big meeting. And about 20 people showed up, and then 15 more and 20 more, and about 200 people show up. This little church. And I asked the pastor, after service, I said, where do all these people come from? The way they answered was very unique. His wife actually answered in asking her husband a question. She said, honey, was it the girl and her husband from the dentist's office or one at the post office that got saved first? He said, no, it was neither. It was one at the bank. And then the girl from the dentist's office and then the post office got saved. What am I saying? These people loved God and loved others so much. They couldn't but just share what God had done for them with others. How many of you have been saved for 5 years or more? Let me see your hands high. Wow, look at that. Isn't that great? Okay, how many of you have been saved for 5 years or less? Let me see your hands. About four. Folks, I don't want to be mean. But if there's only four or five in the last 5 years, what are we doing? The rest of us have been saved for like forever. You repeat what you learn from the Word of God. His forgiveness, His love. He's a great God. And share this God with your friends and your family. Your pastors can't do it all. In fact, you'll meet people they will never, ever meet. Repeat the Word of God. Gives you great accountability partners. Do you know unsafe people are good accountability partners? Because now they're watching you to see if you're going to live according to what you preach. Repeat it. Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You want to wrap yourself up with the Word of God. Realize who said it. Repeat it. Number three, rejoice in it. Say it with me. Rejoice in it. How do you rejoice in the Word of God? Now, I'm from the mountains of North Carolina, okay? And sometimes up there, you know, they go crazy when they worship. You say, Rand, you are crazy, okay? I know that. Now, I'm not saying that's the way we're supposed to rejoice in the Word of God, okay? But there are some ways that we need to. In fact, God already tells us as much as in all riches. Now, I do work for the Wilds, and I travel and speak some, but I'm also a representative for IBM Computer. And when I go to some churches, just for promotional reasons, they've given me four laptops, brand new laptops, and we'll have them out on the table after the service. We do a little drawing, just put your name in a little cup, you know, and five of you will be able to go home today with a brand new laptop computer. I'm also a representative for Ford Motor Company, and they're bringing in five brand new 2007 Mustang convertibles out in the parking lot, and we're going to do a little drawing, and some of you are going to drive home in your new Mustang with your new laptop in the seat next to you. When I was talking about the laptops, you're thinking, I think he's telling the truth. When I start to mention the Mustangs, you think, I think he's lying, okay? I'm lying about both of them, I'll tell you. But you know the feeling when you get like a brand new car or a new computer or a new outfit? Do you know that feeling inside? That should be the same thing when you get another great truth from the Word of God. You rejoice as much as in all riches. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. Think, concentrate, contemplate, ponder, consider, mull over in your mind. Reflect on the Word of God. This weekend we spent a lot of time with the men understanding we know what's right, we know what's wrong. That's not our problem. We don't want to do what is right, and we often do want to do what is wrong because we don't meditate. To make this very simple, the idea of meditation is an agricultural type concept, rumination, cattle. How many of you live in a farm? Anybody here? Okay. How many have ever been on a farm? How many ever sang old McDonald had a farm? Okay. You know what a farm is? Got it. I better make this very easy for you. The girl cows, those are the ones we get the milk from. You know, the white ones, the white milk, the black ones, chocolate milk. You got all that, okay? They get up early in the morning. They eat their grain or they go out and eat the nice juicy grass. And then if, they get hungry again about 10 o'clock, what they can do eating at 6, they find a nice shade tree, get all comfortable. The way God made cows is they chew their cud, they ruminate, they burp that food back up into their mouth, chew it up again, swallow, and put it in a different stomach. That's the way God made cows, okay? If 10:30 they eat and then 2:30 late in the afternoon they get hungry again, they just puke it back up, chew it up again, swallow it again. Now, ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows, not men like cows? Because we could be sitting in the service this morning thinking, how long is this guy going to go? Honey Nut Cheerios for breakfast. Boom, bring it back up again. But we don't do that, okay? To ruminate, to meditate, means to go over and over, not to let one word get by. Take one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 26:3. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, thou. It's talking about God. What do you know about this God? A characteristic, a character trait. Raise your hand. What do you know about this God? One person. Who will share with me? Yes. He's immutable. Never changes. Man, you can trust a God like that. Somebody else. What do you know about God? All loving. Even when we're acting very unloving. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation or the substitute for us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He's a loving God. He's immutable. Somebody else, what do you know about God? Perfect. Never makes a mistake. It kind of goes with His sovereignty. Do you know a church this size? It could be that one of us, like Brother Bonikowski, will find out this next week that we have cancer. And that's okay. That's not a surprise to God. He may not only want to use your life to teach people how to live, He may want to use your life to teach people how to die. He's a sovereign, perfect God. Somebody else, what do you know about this God? Yes, sir. Holy. Totally separate from sin. Can you imagine, as we heard sung just a few minutes ago, being in heaven, totally separated from sin, from temptation, day after day after day for eternity? He's a holy God. Somebody else, what do you know about God? Merciful. He keeps from me that which I deserve, which all of us, we deserve punishment for our sin. Eternal separation from God, which is what hell is all about. It kind of goes along with His grace where He gives to us that which we do not deserve, and that's what heaven's all about, and the relationship we can have with God on a daily basis. He is graceful. He is merciful. What else do you know about your God? A few more. Somebody else. Yes. Faithful. Again, even when we're unfaithful. He's faithful to forgive us our sins. Have you ever gone to God to ask for forgiveness and you're like almost embarrassed? Because you said, Lord, I've asked You so many times, I don't even want to come and ask You again. But He's faithful to forgive us.
and to take our sin and separate as far as the east is from the west, to put it behind his back, to remember it no more. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He is a faithful, forgiving God. One more. What else do you know about your God? Somebody else. Yes, sir. He's your friend. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. This God who is all loving and sovereign and all powerful, forgiving, merciful. He's my friend. Thou will. There's a promise. God says he will do something because he's all powerful. Because he's sovereign, he's going to do it. That will keep. The word means to guard. That will keep who? Him. Little old me in what? Perfect peace. Knowing everything is right between me and God and me and others. What is the condition? Whose mind is stayed on thee. Who concentrates on thee. Folks, you know what we just did for the last 4 minutes? We meditated. And you can do that at home. You forgot we're in church. You forgot what you're going to have for lunch today. Dad, you can do that with your kids and your wife. Ladies, you can get together for some tea and talk about how good God is. Do you understand what kind of glory and praise that brings to your Lord? Reflect on it. Allow yourself to think about the Word of God. Look at verse 15. And have respect unto thy ways. Wrapping yourself up with the Word of God, you must respect it. Respect is living with the words, yes, sir, on the tip of your tongue. God says, I want you to be holy, and you say, yes, sir. I want you to be pure. I want you to be kind. Yes, sir. I want you to reach out and share the good news with some of your friends. Yes, sir. I want you to be faithful to me. I want you to say no to temptation. Yes, sir. I want you to understand that I sent my son to die for you, to pay the penalty of your sin, so that you can spend eternity with me. I want you to trust me. And you say, yes, sir. Living with the words respect on, or yes, sir, on the tip of your tongue. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. How do you wrap yourself up with the Word of God? You repeat it. You realize God said it. You meditate or reflect on it. You rejoice in it. You respect it. But also, it's such a delight, a joy, or you could use the word you relish it. What you need to do is acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. In that same meeting in Maine, the people we were staying with, the lady came home and said to us, have you ever had Maine lobster? I said, no, I don't know, maybe all gushed up in a salad or something, but not really. She said, well, we're going to have it this week. And so later on that week, they brought these guys home. Man, they were huge. You know, I was taking a pencil and stick it in the claw and see if I could swing it around, you know. And I had never had a real lobster in my life, okay. And so we're in the kitchen, you know, messing around with these guys. And I said, well, how do you cook a lobster? I didn't know. She said, well, you get a big pot of water, you boil it, and then you put them inside. I said, you boil them to death? Now, my wife is very, very tender-hearted, and so at this point, she quietly leaves the kitchen and goes into the living room, and I said to the lady, well, do they, like, make noises when they die? And she looked at me and shook her head like I was an idiot, but my wife did not see that. So I'm standing in the doorway between the kitchen and the living room. Amber's standing in there. I said, here they go. They're putting them in the water. They're putting the lid on. When they brought them out, they gave us these little tiny forks, and we dipped it in that white meat and then dipped it in that low-fat, low-sodium, low-cholesterol butter, you know, and took a bite out of that. Whoa, it's unbelievable. I couldn't wait to get another bite. And I acquired a taste that resulted in a constant hunger, folks. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And as you learn what a good God he is by spending time in his Word, you will acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. The end of verse 16 says, I will not forget thy word. Remember it. In the midst of temptation, remember the word of God. In the midst of difficult trials, and they come, folks, remember the word of God. When things are going great, remember the word of God. Remember it. As a 9-year-old kid, I was really scared. I didn't know how to get out of the woods, and finally I came to the edge of a clearing. It was a field next to a farm, and there was a farmer leaned against his truck looking my way, almost like he was waiting for me. You know why? He was. My granddad knew the woods a lot better than I did. He figured if I got lost, he knew exactly where I'd come out. The farmer came to me and pointed me on my way home. Folks, if you've been wandering from God, He knows exactly where you are. And He wants you to come home. Well, let me not wander. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. As you understand, your teenagers are my life. And as I have the privilege to be in churches to now speak to the parents of the teenagers, Mom, Dad, do you know the very best thing that you can do for your teenagers? Be in the Word of God. Simply be in the Word of God daily and share what you learned with them. How many would simply say, Rand, I have wandered in maybe in the areas that you mentioned about the wandering eyes or feet, but maybe in areas that you didn't even talk about. And I certainly wandered from my time in the Word. And honestly, I don't rejoice in it. And I don't meditate on it. But I really, really need to. What will your kids remember about you when you leave home? When they leave, go off to college? Will they remember that you're a mom or dad that loves God and loves His Word? How many would simply say, Rand, God spoke into my heart this morning. And I need to wrap myself up with the very words of God. I want to stay clean. I want to stay pure in this wicked world. And I want to encourage my kids to do the same. But you say, in my heart, personally, God spoke into my heart about being in His Word. Please pray for me. Can I see your hands high, please? God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless you. Others, God spoke to my heart about my time in His Word. And that is the bottom line, folks. If we get in His Word, all our lives will change. There may be someone here who says, Rand, you know, when I've been visiting this church for a while, and these people, the way they sing, the pastor preaches, and even our service this morning, it's like you guys really believe in this God. We do. He's a great God. And there may be someone here who says, Rand, I don't even know if my sins are forgiven. I don't know if I'm a Christian. I'm struggling with this. I have a lot of questions. And you would simply say, Rand, would you pray that God would give me the courage to get with someone very, very soon and get this taken care of? I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. But I want to know this God that this church seems to praise and magnify. I want to know my sins are forgiven. Can I pray for you? I won't point you out, but I'll pray. If that's your heart, you're not sure you're a Christian, can I see your hand, please? I'll pray for you. I promise that God will give you the courage to get with someone very soon. Please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I don't know exactly how you do it in your church, but in a minute I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, I won't say another word. The pastor will take over and the instruments will quietly play. We won't sing. But if God's spoken to your heart and you're serious about that commitment in His Word, you might want to come down near the front or there at your pew, just kneel before God. And make that commitment. Dads, do you understand a commitment from you, what that does for your kids and your wife? It gives them such security. They trust you. They do. This God's spoken to your heart. I hope you obey Him. Quietly, let's stand together. Father, thank You that You love us and want the best for us. And thank You for Your Word and the conviction You set in our heart. We want to love what You love. We want to spend time in Your Word. We get to know You so much better, and that You are a wonderful, loving, kind God. And many of these folks are tender-hearted, and they really want to be consistent in their time with You and Your Word. And we know, Father, if we'll simply do that, the maturity and the growth that we see in our lives is just unbelievable. Thank You for these folks and their tender hearts. And as they pray before You this morning, Lord, I pray that You give them the assurance of Your forgiveness and the confidence that they can be consistent. In Jesus' name we pray. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the instruments play,
you can come.